in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众，首先请听这个小时的简要新闻。川普总统说，他正在寻找方法让中国一家科技公司迅速恢复业务。不久之前，美国的一项贸易制裁决定严重影响这家公司的经营。川普总统星期天通过推特说，中国损失了太多的工作。几天前，中国的中兴公司宣布已经停止主要经营业务。美国禁止向中兴公司出口美国制造的零部件，其中那些零部件占中兴公司制造无线基站、光纤网络和智能电话所需零部件的大约 25%。 美国宣布向中兴公司的出口禁令前，这家公司被美国认定使用了美国的技术产品销售给美国实施贸易制裁禁运的国家，其中包括伊朗和朝鲜。美国去年对中兴罚款12亿美元，但是美国上个月说，中兴对美国谎称要惩罚卷入逃避美国制裁令的雇员，但实际上仍然向那些雇员颁发了奖金。美国商务部禁止中兴公司在2025年之前使用美国产品和技术，迫使中兴停止了深圳工厂的运营。日本、韩国媒体称，一个朝鲜代表团正在访问北京。朝鲜代表团抵达北京后，前往钓鱼台国宾馆。一个星期前，朝鲜领导人金正恩和中国国家主席习近平三月底以来第二次见面，在中国东北大连会谈。在那之前，美国国务卿蓬佩奥访问了平壤。中国第一艘自行制造的航空母舰开始海试。中国国防部的一份声明说，这艘尚未命名的航空母舰星期天早晨离开了大连港。这艘排水量为50000吨的航母很可能在2020年之前服役，在那之前要先完成数次海试以及最后装备飞机。这艘航母的设计是基于前苏联的库兹涅佐夫元帅级航母，使用滑跃起飞，以传统的燃油涡轮蒸汽机发电提供动力。这是中国海军的第二艘航母，第一艘航母辽宁号是从乌克兰购买的二手航母改装，2012年服役。中国国家媒体报道说，中国计划建造一艘核动力航母，具备长期远航的能力。印尼警方说，一个五口之家星期一对泗水一个警察局发动了自杀炸弹攻击，造成10人受伤。控制视频显示，两辆摩托车开到警察局哨卡，随后发生了爆炸。当局说，这家人的一名8岁的女孩没有在星期一的炸弹袭击中丧生，4名警察和6名平民在爆炸中受伤，目前还没有人出面宣称对爆炸事件负责。印尼第二座大城市发生这次爆炸袭击之前，一个包括10几岁青少年和2名儿童在内的6口之家对泗水的3座教堂发动自杀炸弹袭击，造成13人丧生，41人受伤。印尼所有的大城市目前都处于高度警戒状态。数以百计的伊拉克什叶派神职人员萨德尔的支持者星期天晚上走上街头庆祝伊拉克议会选举部分选举结果。伊拉克选举委员会宣布，受萨德尔影响的联盟目前在全国投票中领先，伊拉克超过一半的省份公布了投票结果。美国星期一正式将以色列大使馆从特拉维夫迁往耶路撒冷，巴勒斯坦人和世界许多国家反对这一行动。各位听众，您刚才收听的是美国之音的国际新闻，谢谢各位收听，我们下次节目时间再会。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate-level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课重点讲解怎样预订旅馆房间。首先是电话采访，由节目主持人 Elizabeth 在电话中和正在纽约出差的 Charles Blake 先生进行访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Charles Blake. Mr. Blake is traveling on business. Hello again, Mr. Blake. How's the weather there in New York?
Hello. Well, it's a little chilly today.
It's nice to talk to you again.
I'm happy to be on the show.
When we met in the studio, you told us that you work in industrial manufacturing.
That's right. I work for International Robotics, a Chinese company. We manufacture industrial robots.
And what is your main responsibility at International Robotics?
I'm in charge of exporting our robots to the United States.
In our last interview, you said that you went to San Francisco last year. You went there to talk with Mike Epstein about selling your company's robots to Advanced Technologies.
That's right.
Today we'll be talking about your hotel arrangements during your trip to San Francisco.
Okay, that's fine.
Where did you stay while you were there?
I stayed at the Embassy Suites Hotel in Sunnyvale.
That's south of San Francisco, right?
Yes, it's about 40 miles south of San Francisco.
Is that an expensive hotel?
It's reasonably priced. I got a single room for $120 a night.
Was it difficult getting a reservation?
No, not too difficult. I made the reservation before I left Beijing.
And how did you like the hotel? Was the service good?
Oh, yes, very good.The staff was very polite and helpful.
Do you do a lot of traveling in your work?
Yes, I do. I travel on business about once every month.
Do you always make a hotel reservation before you travel?
Usually I do. If I don't make the reservation myself, I use a travel agency to book a room.
What kind of service do you usually get at hotels?
Usually the service is good, but I've been to some hotels where the service was very poor.
And just one more question.How much does a single room typically cost?
In most cities, I usually pay over $100 a night for a single.
Thank you. And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today, Mr. Blake.
You're welcome.
文化点滴。
We have some really interesting email questions today.
Great. What are they?
The first question is, when I go to an American hotel, what time can I get into my room?
Well, the entering time is called the check-in time. It's usually around noon or 1 o'clock.
Noon or 1, I see. And the second question is, what time do I have to leave my room the next day?
Well, the time when you must leave is called the check-out time. It's often around 11 o'clock in the morning or noon.But each hotel has its own policy, so you really need to confirm both times when you make a reservation.
That's a good idea. Could there be a problem if you arrive too early?
Well, yes. If you arrive before the check-in time, they probably won't let you into your room. You'll have to wait in the lobby.
Really?
Yes, and something worse could happen if you stay in your room after check-out time.
What?
They might charge you for an extra day.
That would be terrible.
Yeah.
Well, Gary, thanks for your helpful information.
I'm always glad to help.
商务对话。
Hilton Hotel, how may I direct your call?
Reservations, please.
Just a moment, please.
Reservations, how may I help you?
Good morning.I'd like to make a reservation for August 20th through the 22nd, please.
For how many people?
Just for myself. I'm traveling on business.
Just a moment, please. Yes, I have several rooms available on those nights.
Could I have a non-smoking room, please?
A non-smoking room? Certainly. That room is $125 a night.
That will be fine. Can I put that on my credit card?
Yes, of course.
Gary 提示
Today I'll be talking about how to make requests. Whenever you call to make a hotel reservation, you'll be asking for many things. For example, you might ask for a single room or a double room. You may want a smoking room or a non-smoking room, a room on the ground floor or a room with a view. Sometimes you might want to request a discount. Whenever you are requesting something, you'll want to do it in a polite way. Let's listen to the requests in today's business dialogue. First, Ms. Powers asks to reserve a room. Listen for her request beginning with, I'd like.
Reservations, how may I help you?
Good morning. I'd like to make a reservation for August 20th through the 22nd, please.
Notice that Ms. Powers says, I'd like to make a reservation. Saying, I'd like, or I would like, is a polite way to make a request. Ms. Powers also asks for a non-smoking room. Notice how Ms. Powers starts her request with could. Let's listen.
Just a moment, please. Yes, I have several rooms available on those nights.
Could I have a non-smoking room, please?
Now let's listen to Ms. Powers asking to pay by credit card. Notice that she begins her request with can I?
That will be fine. Can I put that on my credit card?
Yes, of course.
Beginning requests with I would like, can, or could are all polite ways to make requests. Now let's hear a request that isn't so polite.
Reservations, may I help you?
Yes. Give me a room for March 21st through March 22nd, please.
I beg your pardon?
This time, the woman sounded a little impolite. She said, give me a room, please. Even though she said please, she sounded impolite because she was too direct. It's more polite to say, I would like a room, please. I hope today's tips were helpful.
Elizabeth 通过电话采访国际机器人公司的 Blake 先生。
On today's program, I'll be talking by phone with Charles Blake. I've been talking with Mr. Blake about his business trip to San Francisco last year. Hello again, Mr. Blake.
Hello. Please call me Charles. Let's not be so formal.
Okay, Charles. The last time we spoke, we talked about your trip last year to San Francisco.
That's right. I went to San Francisco to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies.
And tell us again where you stayed in the San Francisco area.
I stayed at the Embassy Suites Hotel in Sunnyvale.
Well, today, we're going to listen to a recording of your conversation with the receptionist at the Embassy Suites. We'll hear what happens as you check in at the hotel.
That sounds great.
Good evening, sir. Welcome to the Embassy Suites Hotel. Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Blake, Charles Blake. I have a confirmed reservation.
Mr. Blake, yes. And the reservation number?
Let's see. Here it is. 14689.
14689? Let me check. Yes, sir, we have your reservation right here. That's for June 10th through the 13th. Monday through Thursday night. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. And the room, sir, is 685 on the 6th floor. I've got the key right here, and I'll get a bellman for you right away.
Okay. What was the price of the room again?
That room is $120 a night.
Okay, fine.
接下来请听节目主持人继续同 Blake 先生进行访谈。
I see that you already had a reservation at the Embassy Suites before you arrived.
Yes, I did. I made the reservation 2 weeks before I left Beijing.
Did you call back later to confirm your reservation?
Yes, I called a few days before I left Beijing.
And your room was $120 a night?
That's right. They had a suite for $200 a night, but that was more than I needed.
How was the receptionist? Was she helpful?
Yes, she was very helpful. I have no complaints.
Thank you for talking with us today.
You're very welcome.
We have an interesting question for you today, Gary.
What is it?
What do you do if you get to a hotel and there is a problem with your hotel reservation?
Well, first you have to understand exactly what the problem is. Ask the clerk at the front desk to explain the problem clearly.
Uh-huh.
If you have made a mistake, they may not be able to help you.
Could you give us an example of that?
Sure. If you made a reservation for December 10th and you arrive at the hotel on December 9th, there may not be a room available for you. The desk clerk may tell you the hotel is full. In that case, you may have to find another place to stay.
I see.
But if someone at the hotel made a mistake, then they have to fix the problem. For example, suppose you have a written confirmation of your reservation for December 9th, and they tell you that they lost the reservation. Then you can demand that they solve the problem.
What can you ask for?
You can ask them to find a room for you at another hotel.
Really?
Yes, and they should pay for one night and pay for a taxi to take you there. If they won't do that, you should demand to speak with the manager. If you are sure that they made the mistake, don't leave the front desk. Stay there until they help you.
In other words, you have to be persistent.
That's right.
May I help you?
Yes, please. I have a reservation for tonight.
And what's your name?
My name is Frank Fernandez.
Frank Fernandez. Yes, I have you booked for tonight through Friday night. Is that correct?
That's right. I'm staying 3 nights.
I see you requested a non-smoking room.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, here's your key.
Thank you.
Gary提示.
Today's language function is confirming information. What do we mean by confirming? To confirm something means to check that it's correct. When you check in at a hotel, the desk clerk or receptionist will confirm how many nights you are staying. Let's listen again to the conversation between Mr. Blake and the hotel receptionist at the Embassy Suites. Listen for the phrase, "That's for June 10th through June 13th.
Mr. Blake, yes. And the reservation number?
Let's see. Here it is. 14689.
14689? Let me check. Yes, sir, we have your reservation right here. That's for June 10th through the 13th, Monday through Thursday night.
In the example we just heard, the receptionist confirms that the dates of Mr. Blake's reservation are June 10th through June 13th. Now, let's listen to some more examples of confirming information in today's business dialogue. First, the receptionist confirms the dates of Mr. Fernandez's reservation when she says, "I have you booked for tonight through Friday night." Let's listen.
May I help you?
Yes, please. I have a reservation for tonight.
And what's your name?
My name is Frank Fernandez.
Frank Fernandez. Yes, I have you booked for tonight through Friday night.
Then Mr. Fernandez confirms that he's staying for 3 nights.
Is that correct?
That's right. I'm staying 3 nights.
Next, the receptionist and Mr. Fernandez both confirm that the room is a non-smoking room. Let's listen again.
I see you requested a non-smoking room.
Yes, that's correct.
Remember, it's a good idea when you check in at a hotel to confirm that you're getting the type of room you expected. You wouldn't want any surprises, would you? Well, that's all for Gary's tips.
Today's
On today's program, I'll be talking by phone with Charles Blake of International Robotics. Today, we're going to talk about making and confirming reservations. Hello, Charles.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello again, Charles. Good to have you back on Functioning in Business.
It's my pleasure.
The last time we spoke, we talked about your business trip last year to San Francisco.
That's right. I went to San Francisco to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies. I wanted to talk to him about selling our industrial robots to his company.
Now tell me, did you get a good flight from Beijing to San Francisco?
Yes, I got a great flight. It was nonstop and only took about 12 hours.
And you made your reservation before you left Beijing?
That's right. I made it several weeks before I left. How did you know?
Well, I have a tape of your conversation with your travel agent.
Oh, that's right. You recorded my conversation.
Shall we listen to it?
Sure. Why not?
Worldwide Travel.
Hello. This is Mr. Blake of International Robotics.
Hello, Mr. Blake. How can I help you?
I'd like to reserve a flight from Beijing to San Francisco, please.
What date would you like to travel, Mr. Blake?
I'd like to leave Beijing on June 10th.
We have a nonstop flight out of Beijing on United Airlines, leaving at 6:05 in the evening.
6:05 in the evening?
Yes, it arrives in San Francisco at 1:45 p.m. the same day. Is that all right?
1:45. Yes, that's fine.
And when will you be returning?
On June 25th.
June 25th. There's a flight leaving San Francisco at 2:45 p.m. on June 25th.
2:45 p.m.? That sounds fine.
Would you like a window or an aisle seat?
An aisle seat, please.
All right, Mr. Blake. I have you confirmed on flight 581, leaving Beijing at 6:05 p.m. on June 10th. Arriving in San Francisco at 1:45 p.m. the same day.
Okay.
You'll be returning on June 25th on flight 582, leaving San Francisco at 2:45 p.m. and arriving in Beijing at 6:45 p.m. on June 26th.
Fine.
Your confirmation number is A as in apple, C as in cat, 6734.
AC6734.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
接下来请听节目主持人继续同 Blake 先生进行访谈。
Did you fly coach or business class on your flight from Beijing?
I flew business class.
Do you always fly business class?
If I'm traveling in the United States, I fly coach to save a little money. But on international flights, I fly business class because it's much more comfortable.
And what was the airfare from Beijing to San Francisco?
The round-trip fare was $965.
That sounds pretty good.
Yes, my travel agent got me a good deal.
I noticed that you got a confirmation number when you made your reservation.
Uh-huh.
Do you always remember the confirmation number when you get one?
I usually write it down on a piece of paper, but sometimes I lose the piece of paper.
That's too bad. Thank you for being on our program today, Charles.
You're quite welcome.
Last time, we talked about what to do if you had a problem with a hotel reservation. Today, we have an email that is a follow-up question to that topic.
Oh, good. What's the question?
The listener asks, how can I avoid problems with hotel reservations?
That's a very good question. After you make a hotel reservation, there are several simple things you can do to prevent a problem. The first thing to do is to ask for a written confirmation by fax or mail. This document will have a confirmation number, your arrival and departure dates, the price of the room, and other information. For example, the confirmation should say whether the room is a smoking or non-smoking room.
That should be very useful.
The confirmation is useful because you can check it for errors. The confirmation is a record of what the hotel thinks you asked for. You should check it carefully for accuracy and correct anything that is wrong. If the arrival date is wrong, for example, you need to call the hotel immediately to correct it.
I see.
One thing to check carefully is your name. If you are from another country, They may spell your name incorrectly. Also, make sure that you bring the written confirmation with you when you check in. That way, if there is a problem, you can show it to the people at the front desk to prove that you are right.
That's great advice.
At check-in, the confirmation number can be very important. That's the easiest way to find your reservation in the computer.
Thanks, Gary. Your advice will save our listeners a lot of trouble in the future.
My pleasure.
International
Airlines, how may I help you?
Hello, my name is Denise Brown. I'd like to confirm my reservation on flight 23 from Atlanta.
What's the date of travel?
August 20th.
Just a moment, please. Yes, I have you confirmed on flight 23, leaving Atlanta at 10:55 a.m. on Tuesday, August 20th, arriving in Chicago at 12:15 p.m. Your confirmation number is V as in Victor, T as in Thomas, 9031.
VT9031.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for flying with us.
另一段是确认预定的旅馆房间.
Reservations, may I help you?
Hello, I'm calling to confirm my reservation for January 5th.
Your name, please?
John Aliotto.
Thank you. Just one moment, please. Yes, you're confirmed for 3 nights beginning January 5th. And that's for a single room.
That's right.
Check-in time is 1 p.m.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Aliotto.
Gary 提示.
Last time you talked about confirming information.
That's right. I said that to confirm information is to check that it's correct or certain. Confirming a reservation is similar. When you confirm a reservation, you are checking that the dates of the reservation and other details about the reservation are correct. When you call to confirm a reservation, you can start your sentence with, I'm calling to confirm, or I'd like to confirm. Which of these phrases do you hear in the first business dialogue? Let's listen again to the dialogue.
International Airlines, how may I help you?
Hello, my name is Denise Brown. I'd like to confirm my reservation on flight 23 from Atlanta.
That's right. Ms. Brown said, I'd like to confirm. Now listen to the second business dialogue and tell me what phrase you hear.
Reservations, may I help you?
Hello, I'm calling to confirm my reservation for January 5th.
Mr. Aliotto said, I'm calling to confirm. Usually, you get a confirmation number when you make the reservation for a hotel or a flight. Let's listen to the first business dialogue again. The travel agent gives Ms. Brown a confirmation number for her airline reservation.
I have you confirmed on flight 23, leaving Atlanta at 10:55 a.m. on Tuesday, August 20th, arriving in Chicago at 12:15 p.m. Your confirmation number is V as in Victor, T as in Thomas, 9031.
VT9031.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Did you notice that Ms. Brown repeated back her confirmation number? She was confirming her confirmation number. Always repeat the confirmation number so that you can be sure you heard it correctly. When you make a reservation, if you are not given a confirmation number, you should ask for one. So remember, if you're not sure, it's always safer to call to confirm your reservations before you travel. Better to be safe than sorry.
Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里，谢谢各位收听，我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
各位听众，现在请听国际新闻。美国总统川普说，他正在寻求方法让一家中国科技公司迅速恢复业务。美国不久前的一项贸易制裁决定严重影响这家公司的经营。川普总统星期天通过推特说，中国损失了太多的工作。几天前，中国的中兴公司已经宣布停止主要经营业务。美国禁止向中兴公司出口美国制造的零部件，占中兴公司制造无线基站、光纤网络和智能电话所需的零部件的大约 25%。美国颁布向中兴公司的出口禁令之前，这家公司被美国认定使用了美国技术的产品销售给美国实施贸易禁运的国家，其中包括伊朗和朝鲜。美国去年对中兴罚款12亿美元，但是美国上个月说，中兴对美国谎称要处罚卷入逃避美国制裁令的雇员，但实际上仍然向那些雇员发了奖金。美国商务部禁止中兴公司在2025年之前使用美国产品和技术，迫使中兴停止了深圳工厂的运营。日本和韩国媒体称，一个朝鲜代表团访问北京。日本和韩国媒体报道，一个朝鲜代表团星期一抵达北京，与中国官员进行会谈。朝鲜代表团抵达北京后，前往钓鱼台国宾馆。一个星期前，朝鲜领导人金正恩和中国国家主席习近平三月底以来第二次见面，在中国东北大连市会谈。在那之前，美国国务卿蓬佩奥访问了平壤。中国国防部发表一份声明说，中国一艘自行制造的航空母舰开始海试。中国国防部的声明说，这艘尚未命名的航母星期天早晨离开了大连港。这艘排水量为50000吨的航母很可能在2020年之前服役，在那之前首先要完成数次海试以及最后装备飞机。这艘航母的设计是基于前苏联的库兹涅夫佐夫元帅级航母，使用滑跃起飞，以传统的燃油涡轮蒸汽机发电提供动力。这将是中国海军的第二艘航母。第一艘航母辽宁号是从乌克兰购买的二手航母改装，2012年服役。中国的国家媒体报道说，中国计划建造一艘核动力航母，具备长期远航的能力。印度尼西亚警方说，一个五口之家星期一对泗水一个警察局发动了自杀炸弹攻击，造成了10人受伤。监控视频显示，两辆摩托车开到警察局哨卡，随后发生了爆炸。当局说，这家人的一名8岁的女孩没有在星期一的炸弹袭击中丧生。4名警察和6名平民在爆炸中受伤，目前还没有人出面声称对炸弹袭击负责。印尼第二大城市发生的这次炸弹袭击之前，一个包括10几岁青少年和2名儿童在内的6口之家对泗水的3座教堂发动自杀炸弹袭击，造成13人丧生，41人受伤。数以百计的伊拉克什叶派神职人员萨德尔的支持者星期天走上街头庆祝伊拉克议会选举部分选举结果宣布。伊拉克选举委员会宣布，受萨德尔影响的联盟目前在全国投票中领先，伊拉克超过1半省份公布了投票的结果。萨德尔没有直接参选，但是对巴格达以绝对多数取胜的联盟有重大影响。美国正式将大使馆从特拉维夫迁往耶路撒冷。美国星期一正式将驻以色列大使馆迁到耶路撒冷。巴勒斯坦和世界上许多国家反对这一行动。美国大使馆将暂时在耶路撒冷领事馆内工作，同时开始寻求更大的地方。各位听众，您收听的是美国之音的国际新闻。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
各位观众朋友晚上好，欢迎收看 VOA 卫视5月9号星期三的时事大家谈节目，我是宇宙。上个星期六呢，5月5号，美国驻中国使馆网页刊出了白宫新闻秘书针对中国政府发表的声明。这份声明称，中国民航局不久前要求36家外国航空公司更改网页和宣传材料中有关台湾、香港和澳门的标示，以符合共产党的标准。然而，这样的要求是奥威尔式的胡言乱语，也是中国共产党将其政治观点强加于美国公民和私营公司的趋势的一部分。而且中国对国内互联网的压制举世闻名，中国向美国人和自由世界的其他地方输出其审查制度和政治正确的努力将受到抵制等等。美国这番公开批评引发了各方的强烈反响。有分析称呢，美国政府本次对中国政府批评的力度和广度都属罕见，似乎没有笔下留情。那么，美中贸易摩擦是否正在导致两国之间的公开政治对抗呢？低谷中的美中关系，贸易与政治究竟谁是因谁是果？那么今天节目邀请两位嘉宾就此展开讨论。一位呢是经济学家、时事评论人士夏业良博士。夏先生通过 Skype 在美国首都华盛顿特区参加节目。夏先生你好。
嗨，主持人好。
嗯，好的。那么另外一位呢是美中日高级政策研究所高级研究员杨中美博士。杨博士呢通过电话从日本东京参加节目。杨博士你好。
主持人你好，大家好。
好的，我们欢迎两位参加今天的时事大家谈节目，也欢迎观众听众以及网友拨打美国之音免费热线电话参加讨论，号码是4001200551 4001200551。您还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 的网上直播来收看并且加入我们的现场讨论，网址呢是 youtube.com/VOAChina。 那么首先第一个问题我想问两位啊，那么就是说呢，你们两位看到这个声明之后有什么样的这个感觉？那么先请问在美国的这个夏业良博士，您觉得这份声明给你一种什么样的这个直觉？
因为美国过去20多年里边主要是展开的是这个人权外交，所以对意识形态和制度之争一般是尽量避免的。所以美国政府呢在公开的言论中从来不去从政治上去批评中国的一些提法和做法。但是这些年来，中国政府在各种外交场合、国际场合不断地要求西方国家按照自己的意识形态来重新给这个中国定位，在很多国际场合上都要求按照中国的说法去说，否则的话就要提出什么什么抗议啊、退场啊，甚至经济贸易方面的制裁啊等等。所以这种做法呢，实际上已经不仅仅是一国保留自己的制度和意识形态，而是要把这种意识形态向外扩展。尤其是随着一带一路那么中国向外扩展的这种战略愈加明显。那么现在我看到美国自从川普总统上任之后想重返80年代里根主义的这样的一个政策，其中呢包括这种过去称为冷战思维，那么今天来看呢实际上已经进入到新冷战时期。那么对共产主义国家或者是带有共产意识形态的这种向外扩张和威慑已经更加的警觉，并且采取了实际行动来加以这个认真的对待。我觉得这个是表现了白宫的这样的一种新的态度和立场。
嗯哼，好的，谢谢夏业良博士。杨中美博士，您的看法？
我觉得呢，现在呢，就是世界正处在一种新旧体制的变换和秩序的这个变动当中，所以呢，发生很多各方面的意想不到的对抗。这次问题呢，也就是说是这个中美之间的一次组合拳的对抗吧，就是说中美之间最近在进行贸易战嘛，但是我觉得不仅仅是在贸易战，而是仅仅是经济贸易方面的战争，而且主要是在还美国方面，因为我也想压倒这个中国呢，在军事和政治上呢都想主动出去了。原来他不想碰的就是问题呢也开始拿起来了，比方说他以前不想避免和中国直接对抗的，像这种这个有关于像澳门这个台湾等问题， 都把这组合性政治打在的牌里去了。那么这次的这个问题呢，就是从这方面引申出来的。那么我觉得呢，这个就是美国呢，现在呢，就特朗普的牌呢，川普的牌呢，就是说是渐渐的，有时候呢，他就是把原来的美国以往的这个软实力捡起来了。原来的软实力方面呢，美国运用的很好，但是呢，自从川普上来以后呢，实际上他把软实力都，实际上是把美国的形象破坏了很多，软实力都扔掉了很多。这次呢，这次简洁的软实力呢，就是说，是把这个就是政治正确，就是把这个帽子把这个中国的帽子制定帽子带给中国人了，中国的领导，中共领，中共呢是在这方面呢，我觉得他就是的确以前用软实力来对付中国的话呢，中国方面在美国方面占了道理的高度，但是现在在川普上台以后呢，实际上美国渐渐失去了道义的高度。那么这次呢，好像重新捡了起来，我觉得这个方向是应当肯定的。但是呢，这个我觉得是现在是有点，因为好像是为了实现自己的一个经贸战的利益来使用，似乎有点是并不那么有利和正当性。
嗯哼，好的，谢谢杨博士。那么接下来我想请问在美国华盛顿特区的夏叶良博士，那么我们刚才也提到，就是说在这个声明之中呢，美国方面这个白宫新闻发言人他这个声明呢是说使用了这个一个特定的词汇，就是奥威尔式的胡言乱语。那么用这个词汇来放在这个声明里头，你觉得它的这个深意何在？那么这个所谓的奥威尔式的胡言乱语究竟是一个什么样的意思？
乔治·奥威尔是一个著名的作家，他的一个代表作《1984》是一个隐喻式的小说，那么带这种乌托邦式的社会的描写。那么实际上，这个大西洋国是在各个方面，就是在控制人们的思想。有一个老大哥无处不在，有一句著名的话叫做“老大哥在看着你”。那么在这样的一个国家里边，人人呢都没有思想的自由。有很多的部门在监控着人们，比如说真理部，他不断的要修改历史，而且把这个宣传啊，人的舆论都要掌握控制起来。还有这个仁爱部其实就对人进行实施洗脑，甚至呢进行酷刑的这样的一种迫害，所以呢这个他这样的一个隐喻式的小说，告诉了人们在一个集权的社会里面，在当人们失去自由以后是一个什么样的状态。我相信他使用这个奥威尔式的这种胡言乱语啊，目的不是在于说一个文学描写手法或者一种表达，更多的是提醒人们这个1984所描绘的这样一个集权社会对人类社会啊这样一种反文明反人类的做法的这样的一种践踏啊，就是说那实际上就是人们联想起前苏联，联想起中国和北朝鲜。所以在这个方面呢，我想使用了这样的语言也表明了这非常鲜明的政治立场和态度，也就是对过去对中国这个剥夺人们的自由，尤其是当今剥夺人们互联网上的这种浏览的自由，还有很多其他的做法，包括在中国成千上万的数不清的摄像头在监控着人们，而真正发生了小偷或者是凶杀事件，摄像头居然经常会失职看不见。但是如果有人进行一些所谓非组织活动进行游行示威的话，那么他这个摄像头立即就发挥作用了。所以从这个方面也可以看到，这个1984这样的一种场景，实际上在当今中国以及其他的一些国家，实际上也是在相当程度上的存在。这一点呢，我想这种表达还是比较过去比较罕见的，但是这现在使用的是非常鲜明。
嗯，好，谢谢夏博士。那么实际上呢，这个奥威尔他的著名的作品《1984》这本书呢，在像是前苏联、在东欧，还有这个中华人民共和国呢这些地方呢，他的这个一直是受到这个封杀，是没有被出版。那么在中国是在1985年，就是84年过了之后呢，才有简体字的这个出版这本书《1984》。那么现在呢，这个美国方面用他的这个名字放在这个胡言乱语前头作为一个修饰呢，其实呢是 非常的有这个刺激的这样一个作用啊。好，那么接下来呢，我们来看看我们的这个听众观众和网友有什么样的这个评论，有非常多的这个观众听众的积极的参加我们的节目。首先呢，我来分享几条这个评论。那么第一位呢是翻墙不爱国，爱国不翻墙，他说呢，如果我没有记错的话呢，欧盟和日本最近也在公开的批评中国，能否请嘉宾介绍一下这方面的情况？那么这个是一个非常好的问题，我们稍后呢的确会提到，就是说美国这次是挑头的站出来，用这个政治正确来打击中共啊，那么是不是会在这个世界上引起这么一股这个潮流？那么接下来一位是王军，他说天朝呢不识时务的跟美国硬熬，结果呢必是断手断脚，回头呢再去抱普京的大腿，再被俄罗斯剥一层皮，从此呢世界第二大经济体就休矣。接下来一位呢是这个范无或者吴范，他说呢，若干年以来，美国及其盟友在政治正确的主导之下呢，造成了自由世界的整体的衰落及一系列的社会问题。然而呢，在西方世界普遍意识并且惊醒的时刻，迎来了川普总统上台，这是民意的选择，这是时势造就英雄，也是自从里根总统以来，美国及其自由世界再次改变国际格局的机遇。好的，接下来我们来看几位听众观众朋友的这个电话啊。第一位呢是北京的李先生，你好。
普天之下莫非习土，率土之滨莫非习臣啊。中国的这些做法只是让美国遵守他79年和中国建交时的承诺，承认这个台湾是属于中国的一部分，所以我觉得这个是非常合理的。而且我们看到现在中国包括欧洲包括日本已经联手压迫这个美元升值啊，可见未来的贸易战中国也是稳操胜券的。习主席已经当选了这个福布斯世界最有权威的人物啊，所以说美国应该这个懂得遵守自己的承诺吧。
好，谢谢您。接下来一位是天津的王先生，你好。
首先这个港澳台什么藏是中国领土啊，美国才是胡说八道，没有。然后就是美国向贸易战向中国提出这些个条款啊，我看了一下，什么2年内降低什么2000亿美金，然后不许官方给自己的这个企业补助啊，什么什么要提高中国关税，还有不准投资，这是丧权辱国嘛。既然谈无可谈，就死扛到底，这巨龙要挣脱这锁链。
好，谢谢天津的王先生，有非常强烈的民族情绪。那么接下来位是重庆的马先生，你好。
啊，宇泽女士你好。
嗯，你好。
我是说两个人联盟两条，一个70年代或60年代呀，一个中国，一个两个主力，一个资本主义，一个社会主义，一个无产阶级，一个资产阶级，他们都水火不相容，下面还制造失踪人，把中国制成一个灾难性的社会。80年代邓小平搞改革开放，他只是在这个鱼池上搁了一个窝儿。他说中国社会、中国资本主义，他搞搞个中国铁血社会主义，中国那么富裕、那么强大，是靠什么建立起来？就靠资本主义的方式成立的。中国的老百姓生活富裕了，经济富裕了。
好，谢谢。谢谢重庆的马先生。重庆马先生主要是说，中国呢，这个在经济上，邓小平在经济上实施了改革开放，用资本主义来发展了这个国家，但是在政治上并没有走向现在的这个文明民主政治啊。那么接下来，我想请在东京的杨仲美先生，请您对我们以上的几位观众听众朋友提出的这个意见，尤其是这个评论意见，这个做一下这个回应。那么另外呢，我也想问您，就是说呢，你也谈到了，就是说，美国呢，可以说在这次这个声明中呢，是重新拾起了他过去就最近这两年，可以说呢，应该说过去这个几十年啊，总体来说他所丢失的这个美国的这个软实力。那么其实呢，在川普总统上台之初呢，他也表示过，我们不再去关注这个别人国家他们的这个政治意识形态这些东西，那么我们只是要这个专注的发展自己的经济。那么现在我们来看看呢，从川普总统他所采取的对中国的这个立场和态度来看，他是不是已经改变了自己原来的这个初衷？那么这究竟是一种 种这个应该说是一种顺理成章的这个发展呢，还是在这个西方世界呢，他们是不是事先埋下了一些这个伏笔，杨先生？
我觉得呢，天津的那个王先生讲的是有一定道理的，就是说，在中国改革开放40年以来呢，在经济上呢是走市场经济的，那么也就是美国现在也在批评他，就是川普也讲他是中国是从商主义什么的，再等等，这种标签也贴在中国，的确是这样，从商主义，这实际上在资本主义的这种腐朽的东西一些部分，在中国倒是泛滥的很厉害，但是呢，相反的说是呢，这个美国方面呢，在这场市场经济的较量当中呢，好像渐渐就是被搞有计划经济的国营企业为主的那个中国的市场经济啊，搞得有点不知所措，所以说呢，在这场这个经济贸易的大战当中呢，美国渐渐显出了它的劣势。那么现在再看来呢，美国的川普呢上来以后呢，想回到里根的这个以色列争取和平、以色列赢取胜利的这个路线上来。那么他现在就是说，哪个他是一个他，我觉得川普还是比较现实主义的，就是用什么能够打赢中国就什么用都来。我觉得像川普呢，你看他现在要争取老百姓的支持。像这个铁锈地带的那种老百姓啊，都是工人。实际上，我列宁曾经说，工人没有祖国的，意思就是工人是无产阶级。就无产阶级的话呢，是赞成世界革命的，他们在世界上是有共同的利益的，会赞成革命的。但实际上呢，现在看来呢，资本家才是没有祖国的。资本家为了利益，实际上是全世界跑的，他们都是工人呢，实际上是有祖国的，是有民族主义的，所以说这他们美国的工人，我们看到比较赞成川普，而中国资本家实际上是比较赞成这个市场经济的。那么我觉得这个也到了一个很搞笑的一个阶段了。那么现在看来呢，就是川普的很多做法呢，有他的革命性的一面，有现实性的一面，也有他很失误的一面。比方说他。为了想他的商人做政治作风呢，实际上是他的致命的弱点。这因为凭商人政治的这种做法和中国来对抗呢，实际上是搞不过中国的。中国实际上是你看这个他在和美国打的时候，我记得有一个很有名的一个事例，就是在美国在这个朝鲜战争当中，在三干岭战役失掉以后。打上甘岭战输掉以后，那是蒋介石听到这个消息以后就说，这个美国人你看也搞不过毛泽东，也搞不过共产党。你看他就是说这个，当时林彪就讲了，这个上甘岭战役就是用，这个是绞肉机啊，是人的用人的肉磨出来的，就是说中国共产党为了赢得胜利，他实际上是可以把牺牲到最后的。把人民的利益牺牲到最后的，也要把你搞下去，把对方打倒。那么在这场较量当中，实际上是呢，意志力比较坚强一点的，有这个能动员整个国家力量来进行对抗的，我感到中国是占上风的。那么在这种情况下呢，川普呢实际上是他的这个阵营并不是很巩固的。他因为呢，经常用商人政治来搞呢，把首先把他同盟关系就破坏了，他就没形成一个很有力的统一战线来对抗中国。比方说，他 TPP 本来就是很好的一个对抗中国的一个奥巴马打成的一个联盟，因为他反奥巴马的政治遗产。
对不起，主持人，我要打断，我实在听不下去。那么刚才这位他竟然对中共那种没有灭绝。可以说是灭绝人性的这种采用各种牺牲人民利益的手段来跟西方国家进行对抗，而且一定会占上风这样一种做法津津乐道。
我觉得这个是难以容忍。
那么夏先生呢，等会我会请您来这个分析一下评论一下，就是说呢关于这样一个对垒呢，就是说您的看法是怎么样的，就是说中共呢他可以牺牲人民的利益，但是在美国显然是不可以。那么杨先生他的意思呢，就是说美国跟中国现在这个状况基本上是有一种秀才遇到兵这么一个状况。那我正好想问问您，就是说呢现在这个情况的话呢，像是这个贸易战，我们看起来是在这个经济贸易上呢有一些纠纷摩擦，那么这个美国宣称要打这个战，但这个战呢也一直没有打起来。那么究竟这个贸易战呢，它是两国之间的这个政治意识形态它的这个目前的对峙的一个结果呢，还是它的原因呢？
我觉得现在下断言说中国在这个经济贸易竞争上已经能胜过美国，为时过早，而且过于轻率。因为我们可以看到如果通过一种不按照国际规则的这个竞争，这种竞争是不公平的贸易竞争。如果是这样做的话，中国也许在一段时间里面获得很大的利益和好处。但是如果按照国际通用规则来严肃的对待的话，进行自由市场竞争，那中国必然要败下阵来。以目前中国的体制和运行状况来而言，比如说最近当美国宣布，商务部宣布不再向中国中兴和华为公司提供有关芯片等高技术，那么中国就出现了很大的困境。那么这种情况下，在短期内是无法解决的一个瓶颈。那么到底中国是强大呢，还是非常的虚弱呢？这是一目了然。中国的老百姓现在看得更加清楚了，到底是谁来怕，谁惧怕真正的市场竞争，谁真正的惧怕自由竞争，公平贸易。所以呢，我觉得现在不是说这个中国他这个一切做得很好，而美国有意的报复他，这种中共官方所操纵的论调是完全不能成立的。说什么中国成为经济上第二大了，所以美国必然要从各个方面打压中国，这个说法没有道理。因为在历史上成为这个经济第二第三的国家比比皆是，美国跟这些盟国都保持了相当好的这种自由竞争的贸易伙伴关系。虽然有的时候偶尔也会出现贸易摩擦，比如说80年代跟日本之间的贸易摩擦，跟欧盟之间也有过贸易摩擦，但是这些呢都不是关键。在很长一段时间里边，我们看出总的趋向是好的，因为大家都是遵守国际贸易规则的。然后中国在2001年加入 WTO 之后，并没有按照自己所承诺的那样去做。现在17年过去了，很多方面根本就没有兑现。而且呢，过去5年宽限期早已结束，到今天中国仍然没有全面的开放很多的领域和市场。那么后来经过达沃斯会议，刘鹤已经向社会向国际社会宣布中国今年将会有比较大的改革举措。其实这不是主动的改革，而是呢迟到16年17年的一个必须兑现的承诺，现在开始履行这些承诺。那么在习近平的博鳌论坛讲话中，他也提到了中国今年呢要在很多方面实施开放，而这些开放并不是中国主动开放的结果，而是在美国政府的压力下，在西方社会的这个共同压力下所做出的要求成兑现，在16年前、17年前所做出的承诺，在这种压力下所做出的。所以现在的情况来看，如果要是讲这个贸易战打下去的话，那我相信中国会大伤元气，而美国呢是有一些不太严重的损失。这一点到底是谁能更加长久的持续，大家也看得很清楚。
好的，我们谢谢夏博士。那么接下来我们看看我们的听众观众有什么话要说。先来接听几位的电话。第一位呢是广东的刘先生，你好。
哎，嘉宾好，主持人好。我个人认为，今天他发了这样欧威尔是这样的一个宣告呢，对于中共来讲，这是因为他们输出太多的这样的一些有违背西方普世价值的东西，所以他会遭到这样的一个通告。并且我认为中美的贸易战呢，并不会仅仅的是一个贸易战，它后面还会升级到甚至有军事冲突等等，但是最终谁会获胜，我们相信大家会有一个看到了。
好，谢谢广东的刘先生。那么今天的时事大家谈讨论呢，到这里就结束了。我们非常感谢杨忠美博士和夏叶良博士参加今天的节目。那么时事大家谈呢是一个自由的论坛，观众、听众和嘉宾发表的是个人观点，并不代表美国之音。明晚的时事大家谈的话题呢是习金二度相会，玄机何在？请您按时锁定收看美国之音。我是宇宙，祝您晚安，我们下次节目再见。